We're joined now by His Honor, the 57th Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Jeffrey Martin Landry, who is a busy man. As he told Tyler Bridges, "I don't move slow." It's been a busy almost two and a half years now, and next year the governor will be running for a second term, and we're here to talk with him about all kinds of matters. Mostly, there's a lot going on in the state, independent of the war in Iran, but we do have an election in 4 weeks, 4 weeks from tomorrow. Not only is the U.S. Senate election the marquee race, but there are races for Congress, the U.S. House, and there are amendments. And Jeff Landry, I know you have taken a particular interest in Amendment Number 3. Tell us why you believe that this is the right method to provide a pay raise for teachers in our state and to have stability as far as education, which is, of course, a major, major issue in our state.
Yeah, Jim, I got to tell you, this may be the best good government amendment that the people of the state ever have an opportunity to vote for. I mean, it checks all of the boxes in sound fiscal policies while taking care of our educators. I mean, no one disagrees that teachers, and especially in the rankings that we're getting right now in education, don't deserve a pay raise. And unfortunately, when I took office, we were saddled with the last legislature gave them a stipend, which is kind of like a bonus. And that just basically keeps them on the playing field, the political chessboard, because every year you got to go out and find the money to be able to fund it. There's no set source of revenue to be able to fund a permanent pay raise. And what we've been trying to do is keep ourselves from spending one-time money on things that cost us each and every day. And so we were able to look through the different funds that were out there, and there were a set of funds that were educational funds that the legislature could only use the interest off those funds, and we were making very little interest. And then when we looked at the debt on the teacher's retirement fund, the unaccrued liability for the teacher's retirement debt, it was enormous, and we were paying way more in interest on that than we were receiving on the other fund. So we said, well, look, if we take that money and we pay down the teacher's debt, we now have a solid revenue stream. So instead of having to pay those interest payments, which are already baked into the budget, the budgets of school boards and the state, will be able to give teachers that pay raise. And then we actually did it a little better. The stipend was $2,000. We added another $250 on top of that. And so that's what voters do and get to do. They get to give teachers a pay raise, shore up the retirement system, and stabilize the fiscal affairs of the state, thereby giving us more flexibility, which I hope to continue to whittle down at the income tax. And so, I mean, it's like a common sense amendment. It also gives, let me just say this, Jim, it also gives support staff a pay raise as well, which is at $1,150. So we touch all of the places in education that have direct contact with our children and our students.
It is a noble endeavor, but those on the other side are saying it raids a trust fund for education. Is that a realistic or a relevant a counter to what you're saying, or do you think that's overdone?
No, that's completely overdone. Like I said, look, Dave Ramsey would give us an A-plus for what we're doing, okay? I mean, he would, because, you hear Dave Ramsey, he goes on the radio and he tells you how to, you know, especially if you got high credit card debt, exactly how to get out of it, and that's what we're doing here. But here's the thing. Every dollar that we're touching is going inside the educational system. So, like, we're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. We're actually doing that right now. See, so right now we don't have the teacher stipend in the budget because we don't have a reoccurring revenue for it. And so if corporate sales tax goes way down, if we don't raise as much revenue, if we still want to give those teachers that $2,000, we got to go take it from somewhere else. We might have to take some of it from early education early childhood education, or we might have to take it from higher ed, or we might have to take it out of healthcare. We don't want to do that. I mean, we've been, Jim, you've been through those battles, 30 years, you know what I mean? And so this amendment actually creates stability.
Well, I think we hope there will be a good turnout, and you have been a supporter of the closed primary, and we'll see, but are you optimistic that people will get out and vote, particularly with a major race for the United States Senate, a statewide race on the ballot?
I am. You know, it is disappointing because I think every election, irrespective of who's on the ballot or what's on the ballot, should produce 100% of the voters. And regardless of when the election happens, they should, you know, people should go out there and exercise their right to vote and their civic duty to be able to vote. I think we'll get a pretty decent turnout in the primary elections. I mean, you know, I would have much rather have these elections when we originally scheduled them. But, you know, the Supreme Court and the federal courts, you know, their involvement in redistricting, which we've talked about multiple times, you know, have, you know, complicated Louisiana's timing for elections. So that election is going to be May 16th, and then the runoff is going to be in late June. It's, you know, not ideal, but guess what? It is our civic duty to go out there and exercise our right to vote, and this is just a great amendment where we can. You know what's interesting? I think when early voting happens, Jim, it's Teacher Appreciation Week, so people can go out there and appreciate teachers by going vote.
Go.
Yes.
All right. Well, you were backing Congresswoman Letlow in the Senate race. How do you see the Republican primary with Letlow, the incumbent Bill Cassidy, and the Treasurer John Fleming?
Well, look, I think that the polling numbers for Senator Cassidy have been dismal for a long time now. I mean, for a long time, everybody knew that certainly his vote to impeach the president and turn on the president has affected him politically in the state of Louisiana. I said I wasn't getting involved in a race until the president got involved. The president decided that he wanted to back Congresswoman Letlow. I think he made a great choice. I think she's going to do a fine job. She's done a fine job in Congress in picking up where her late husband left off. I mean, in that tragedy, you know, she had young kids when she lost her husband. Her husband was an unbelievable person. I mean, Luke Letlow was just a complete rising star. And I think that if you look at the amount of money that Bill Cassidy and his cronies have spent beating this poor woman up, okay, and where her numbers are, I don't know if I could have withstood that. I got to tell you. And I think that, you know, trying to paint her as a liberal or trying to paint her as this or that is really a disingenuous. It's kind of interesting because we've got two men and a woman in this race, and the two men are just beating the hell out of the woman. I mean, that is, they're certainly not being southerly.
Well, we have to take a break, but we'll pick it up with the governor, who has a lot on his plate, and we have a few inquiries about what's happening in the world, and it is a fascinating place, local and national, international. We're back after this. This is Jim Inkster, and you're listening to Talk Louisiana, and we finish the hour with His Honor, the Governor of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, and as I've noted, has the most varied background of anybody in the history of that position, I believe. He was a farmer, a police officer, a military veteran, and of course he was a member of Congress, attorney general, and now governor of Louisiana. He served in the legislature as an aide, so he knew the lay of the land when he came to the Capitol, and he has been a busy governor. Now there is a development, a listener notes, and this is a good question. Saudi Arabia's sovereign wealth fund on the verge of announcing it will withdraw financial support from LIV Golf has caused some repercussions in Louisiana. And I think our state governor invested $7 million to bring a tournament here. Where does that stand right now?
Well, the good news, Jim, is that all of the money has not been spent, and the vast majority of that money that has been spent, I think about $2 million was spent refurbishing the city golf course in New Orleans, which certainly needed it for a long, long time. It is disappointing that their issue came to an end, but we didn't lose $7 million. And I think that that's extremely important. If anything, we ended up investing in an asset that I think we can go and continue to attract great events to. And so, you know, it's unfortunate, but we, you know, I think we're going to end up with probably about a $5 million balance that we ended up not spending, which so I'm glad that they pulled the plug early enough.
There you go. Now, yesterday, the House passed a budget that increases the funding for one of your objectives, the La Gator plan. Do you think that can be preserved when the Senate starts counting the beans?
Yeah, I don't. You know, look, we've been having some serious discussions about how we exactly fund that. And I mean, I think the majority of Louisianians want money to follow the child. I think that, and they deserve it. The money that we educate our children with belongs to, it comes from the pockets of the parents anyhow. And that's what we're trying to do. We want parents to be able to have educational freedom in where they send their children to school, and that children that are stuck in poor failing schools shouldn't have to remain in those poor failing schools because of a zip code. And so, you know, we're going to continue to work. We've had some pretty good discussions between Cade and I and the Senate president. You know, my focus has always began with children with disabilities because, again, you know, parents who have children with disabilities struggle to find the right programs for those particular kids. And they deserve to be in schools that has a program that fit whatever that disability is. So, you know, we're going to continue to make, you know, small steps or big steps. We'll see what they decide to do.
Now, Governor, the job you have is immense, and you're involved in all kinds of things. And of course, you were named by the president to be the special envoy to Greenland. How is that going right now?
Yeah, look, I think it's going real well. You know, we during Mardi Gras, we hosted some folks from Greenland in Louisiana. They were extremely shocked, and I think they came in with one perception, but they left with another. I've spoken to the president about trying to improve the healthcare settings of Greenland, of the Greenlanders that are there, because they've got a universal healthcare system, which is really terrible. They got no radiotherapy. They got only one major hospital, I think one CT scan. I think hepatitis is endemic over there. If you get real, real sick, you got to take a 6-hour flight to Copenhagen and then wait in line to do that. I think that there are some things that we could do to really improve that lot. No one is arguing anymore about the strategic importance of Greenland and having either a better relationship or more like a Marshall Islands agreement. Or, you know, I mean, I think that everything is on the table for the type of relationship we could and should have with Greenland. And so we'll see. Look, I'm hoping to go out there in the next few months. I've been invited to go and do a chamber event, a commerce event. And I think that there's some opportunities maybe for Louisiana businesses to do things. I know when I go everywhere, everybody's like, hey, did you go yet? I really want to go. What is it like? And so maybe after I get to go, I'll come back on the show and tell you what it's like.
I would love that. Now, as you know, you have been involved in athletics, particularly at LSU, and now the Tigers have a new athletic director in Virge Osberry, a new head football coach in Lane Kiffin, new head basketball coach in Will Wade. What do you think?
I think we're batting 1,000. I think that the LSU athletic program, from a coaching standpoint, has never been in a better position. From baseball to women's basketball to now men's basketball and football, our track and field, our gymnastics, our dance. I mean, things are great. It's great opportunities for kids. We really have to fix this NIL debacle. I mean, college football will literally bankrupt all of these other sports if we don't get some guardrails around it. It's something that I support the president and Senator Tuberville and Coach Saban for trying to do. And so, you know, we'll see where that goes. It's going to be very interesting to watch the Tigers back at Ole Miss with Coach Kiffin. I've seen the tickets are going for like $1,000 a piece already.
Well, that's the game of the year. And Coach Kiffin, of course, left Ole Miss to come to LSU and I know the Tigers are excited about the new guy in charge, but these buyouts that largely were the responsibility of the previous president and chancellor and negotiated all these contracts, Bill Tate, about $80 million in buyouts over the last few years. Now, that's also an expense. And you mentioned women's basketball. That's a great program under Kim Mulkey. They won a national title, but they lose about $8 million a year. Can that be sustained in this new environment?
Well, look, you know, I was very critical about the way the contracts were all put together because eventually the state is on the hook. That's the reason that I got in what some people would say hot water or trouble, but I was really trying to protect the taxpayers, and I think we have eventually we did. Kiffin's contract is back now by the Tiger Athletic Foundation. But I'll tell you, the extent at which the last LSU administration and the last athletic director spent money, they were like drunken sailors. Well, I shouldn't say they were like drunken sailors. I mean, drunken sailors, when they run out of money, they go home. They just kept spending. I mean, Woodward spent $130 million over 5 years while he was there. The previous that came out of the Tiger Athletic Fund. And the interesting part is that his predecessor, the person who was there before him, I think it was Joe Oliva, had only dipped into that fund for $5 million. So you're right by highlighting that we've got an issue with our finances at LSU. But stay tuned. Me and me and Wade Roos have been working on ways to stabilize those finances, and we're hoping that the model that we produce there can be replicated to our other universities around the state.
Will there be some belt tightening, though, from some of these other sports that are running huge deficits?
So. Yeah, I think there has to be some belt tightening. I think there is. The problem is that, the first belt tightening we did was firing Scott Woodard or having him leave, because that getting him out the kitchen certainly saved us a whole bunch of money. I mean, he left $100 million debt over at A&M and a $54 million liability here at LSU. So just getting him out the way, I think, has greatly improved it. And like I said, I think the new president is slowly but surely putting the financial affairs of not only the athletic department, but the university as a whole in financial shape.
Well, you have hired coaches with great track records as far as winning, and Will Wade and Lane Kiffin, but if they don't win, they also have buyouts. Can we ever be assured that it's a 100% possibility that they're going to succeed, Governor?
Oh, no, that's not 100%. Guarantee that I would succeed. You know, I mean, I'd be honest with you, or you or anybody else.
That's true.
No one can guarantee 100%. Here's what I'll tell you. The difference between Kiffin's contract and Kelly's is that it's front-loaded. It was something that I demanded. Normally, you give a coach about 5 years to determine his or her success. And so the amount that we're paying them on is front-loaded over those 5 years. So the amount that if we decided at year five that it's just not working out under that particular contract, we pay a lot less than we paid to get rid of Brian Kelly. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not in any way trying to suggest that we're even would have to contemplate that. I think that Lane Kiffin is going to do a great job at LSU. He certainly put together one of the best portal classes that we've ever had. I mean, he's like Will Wade. Like, both of these guys, they're just winners. You know what I mean, Jim? I mean, look, Will Wade left. We fired him out of LSU. Well, not we. I wasn't there. I was at the AG's office. They sent him over to McNeese. He goes to that program and puts them in the tournament. Then he leaves McNeese. He goes to NC State. His team at McNeese goes back to the tournament. And NC State goes to the tournament. And where was LSU?
Well, the LSU was on the sidelines, but the coach, Matt McMahon, he didn't have the same resources that you're providing, we as LSU people are providing Will Wade. Is that fair?
That's not a fair question, because let me tell you something. Will Wade did not have the resources at McNeese.
He didn't.
That the prior basketball coach.
Oh, he's a great coach. He's a great coach. We agree on that, and let's hope he does it. And I'll give you credit. You made LSU the talk of college athletics, Governor. So hats off to you for doing that. And thanks for joining us today. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you.
Take care. See you soon. We're back next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned.